Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Stream the show on the new ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now, on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Good morning. Welcome in to Cap and J-Hood, ESPN 1000. He's Jonathan Hood. I'm David Kaplan. Danny Zetterman, Jeff Meller, J.R. Strauss. We're here every day, 7 until 10. And then we also work afternoons probably 3.5 of the 5 days because we program their show. And then the two dudes at Libertyville can't fill 2 hours, so they have to play our audio and use me as a topic because they can't fill 2 hours. So keep grinding, boys. Hi, Hoodie. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm really good. This is going to be very interesting this morning because, you know, just like you and I, we do our own show every morning, but we're sports radio listeners, too. So when we're running errands like I was yesterday, going to Home Depot, getting some stuff done, winterizing the house, I'm listening to Waddle and Sylvie yesterday. Boy, there's just a lot of content out there, a lot of our content out there.
Yeah, I turned it on for a second, and then I thought they were replaying the morning show. But that's okay. That's okay.
All right.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, and, you know, the Illinois Media School says if you find something that's really good, just replay it. So
I don't think we say that, but I guess I would imagine they will adopt that now. Put that in the liner.
I'm Mr. Ali for the Illinois Media School. If you find something really good on the morning show, just replay the hell out of it.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot out there, man. And, you know, listen, when I was working at night, I'd listen to your show, try to pick it up as much as possible. I was sleeping in late a lot of times, but, you know, this whole thing with Trubisky, it's growing legs. This whole thing with you really appreciate Mitch Trubisky being the quarterback for this football team. Mm-hmm. He loses the job. Yesterday's show, you know, we're talking about Trubisky, and you put it in context and says, you know, if we don't see Trubisky anymore and he wasn't able to reach the heights that he needed to as a quarterback for this Bears team, you'd consider him a bust.
Right, because his contract is up. They didn't pick up his option for the 5th year. Well, then they're probably not re-signing him. He will go somewhere else and compete somewhere else, which would mean no matter if he got to the Hall of Fame or was out of the league in a year, he, from a Bears perspective, would be a bust because he's not in your uniform anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't get any of the heights that you hoped for when you drafted him. But that flies over the head of the two dudes from Libertyville and two guys in the afternoon. So yesterday, here was Waddle and Sylvie's reaction to a pretty basic statement that I made yesterday. It wasn't like a revelation. But again, for them, it was like integral calculus.
And this isn't the first time that actually Cap has admitted that he was wrong and that Mitch Trubisky was not good at football.
And this gets to the banned audio that the poll question, what was it, 97%, 96%?
It's 96.7% with over 2,000 votes.
So the people want the audio. Now, it was only banned by Cap walking around the halls telling us it was banned. No one told me that I couldn't play it except for Cap.
Never told me. I'll click that button.
Yeah, I mean, like any producer here who can just Google or search in the system where the audio is, it's accessible for everyone. And I labeled it clearly so we could all have fun with it.
Right. Let me tell people this, too. We had like a festivity after we played this, after it was banned last year. Cap did not talk to me all night. Cap was pissed. He's probably going to be pissed at me now. Cap, I love you. But you said this on your own show.
Yes, and it actually wasn't the Rams game. It was after the Eagles loss.
Remember
that Eagles game where the Bears only had 9 yards of offense in the first half? They lose the game last season 22-14 to the Eagles. That game was on November the 3rd. On November the 4th, Monday morning, this is how Cap started his show. He was with Pat Boyle that day, and Sylvie, Pat mentioned it when he was on with you earlier. A Cap pushed Pat out of the way. I'm starting my show like this. So this is how the show started on November the 4th after the Bears lost to the Eagles
last season.
The show
was called Cap and Company.
I owe every single human being, dog, cat, bird, goldfish, and every other creature on God's green earth an apology. Forever leading you to believe Mitchell Trubisky could get it done at quarterback. For believing that this team was going to be really impactful this year in the National Football League. That yesterday was so disgusting and so embarrassing that I don't know what to say other than I was an idiot. I apologize to all of you. I was an idiot forever believing that that guy was going to come in as a raw project and develop into a quality signal caller. We're in year three, folks, and he stinks.
So there you go, Sylvie. November the 4th, last year.
And he banned it himself. That is not allowed to be played on the radio station.
Yeah.
And then after that, he went back on it after apologizing to all of us. Not only did he ban it, but then he went back on the Trubisky train and he told all of us during the offseason that if you're not on the Trubisky bandwagon he's coming. He's got receipts and he's coming at all of us.
So there it was on Waddle and Sylvie yesterday. I got a lot of questions because I wasn't part of the company very often.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of questions, so maybe you can help me out and understand a lot of this.
Like, fire away.
Well, I mean, so they say that Chris said that you pushed Boyle out of there. You pushed him out of the way.
First of all, the show was called Cap and Company.
Oh, I see.
And I said, here's the deal. I've got something I want to say, so get the H out of my way. Period.
Yeah.
If you came in here today and said, hey, man, I got an opening monologue. I want just give me 2 minutes and get out of my way. I'd be like, have the floor.
Yeah. All right. So you say you pushed my way. Then they talked about banned audio. First of all, I'm not familiar with this term banned audio.
Right.
Was that audio banned for real?
All I said was that Black couldn't play it. I didn't say the rest of the station couldn't. I don't have that type of ability.
Danny, you were here for the
but
show.
But I told Danny and Chris not to play it.
He didn't tell us. He emphatically demanded that audio not be played. It was Chris saying it was banned audio is fair, Cappy. I have to be honest. That day that Chris had it cut up and ready to play, you emphatically and emotionally let us know that that would not be played.
Yeah, I basically told you to go F yourselves. But I never said anything about the rest of the station. Never. I don't have that ability. Plus, what would they do in the afternoons if they didn't have stuff of our show to play?
Oh. There's a lot of you on the show
yesterday.
We got
one dude hiding up in his bunker in the suburbs.
That's not Waddle you're talking about now. You're talking about, you think Sylvie's in the bunker.
Sylvie's in his bunker.
Yeah.
Got Waddle who can't keep his shirt on.
Yeah.
I mean, and then the two dudes at Libertyville at night. It's only 2 hours, boys, with commercials. You don't have that much time you have to fill. I simply said yesterday that with his contract not being extended, if he doesn't get back on the field, if Nick keeps the job the rest of the season, Mitch is going to be playing somewhere else next year. I don't think that that's like advanced geometry there. I don't think it's some high-level MIT course. Maybe for the guys in the afternoon it is, but it's just not that difficult a concept. If he can't get back on the field and his contract is up, he's probably going to say, you know what, I'm going somewhere else, and they're probably going to say, probably a good idea, get a fresh start somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to figure out so it's banned audio. You felt badly after the way Mitch and the offense played against the Eagles. Then you start to see some improvement, right? So were you saying, I can't believe in this guy, and then he started to turn around. You say, well, you know what? I'm going to give him a second chance.
I watched the Dallas game.
Yeah.
And he played really well in that game. And then I thought, bad offensive line, no tight end play. Yes, he was bad, but let's go back to work in the offseason and see if we can fix this thing.
So how would you characterize that, Danny? I mean, you're here every day. How would you characterize the ebb and flow of how Cap was handling Trubisky?
Here's what we love about Cap. This is why Cap's great. He's very passionate and emotional.
Yep.
And one day he could be all in on one thing. A few days later, some facts come in, maybe his opinion changes, and he will evolve and he will be all in the other way. But that's what makes him great. He goes all in on how he feels. Mm-hmm. The problem was that the majority of the listeners and the fan base were all out on Mitch at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Cap was the leader of the Mitch Trubisky fan club, and he was all in. Then to hear him apologize to Goldfish over Mitch, you thought to yourself, all right, he's come around to our side. Weeks later, he's back on the Mitch bandwagon. So it was like whiplash. Like, who is Cap Mitch? Is he not Mitch? What's going on here?
I've always been supportive of that kid. He needs to move on. He needs to give a middle finger to the Chicago fan base, the media here, and move on and go somewhere else and hopefully have success.
Can I ask a question? Why would he give a middle finger to the fan base? Like, no offense.
Because 98% of these people were out on him the night of the draft. They booed him at the freaking Bulls game, for Christ's sake.
But also,
they wanted nothing to do with him from the get-go.
But his play supported the fact that the fans were not behind him. If he played well, and you know that in this city, and you know that with Bears fans, if you play well, we're all in. Like, Allen Robinson right now is complaining about a contract mid-season. We still support the man because he's the best offensive weapon we have. If Mitch Trubisky played well, the fan base would have been fully behind him and supported him. The problem is he played like crap, which justified us booing him at the Bulls game.
Yeah, so the underachievement, I think, is
booing
is
him
the
at the Bulls game was the night he got drafted.
No, my point is we were all shocked when he was drafted, and we were surprised that Ryan Pace traded up to get him. There was a lot of surprise there. You can't blame Bears fans for it. Because when we did our draft preview show, we never said, oh, I hope they get Mitchell Trubisky. You were Jamal Adams no matter what. Many people were wondering who they were going to take. But at no point did anybody on this air say they were going to take Mitch Trubisky. So when they traded up to get him, the shock is understood and it's justified. Then he comes out and he plays like crap and it kind of justifies us not being behind the guy. So he doesn't owe the fan base a middle finger.
And you can understand, but after the Eagle game, you were out. You said, you know what, this guy can't improve. And then you said, okay, and then you start to see more evidence and say, okay, I'm going to give him a second chance. So,
correct.
But so your feeling was the same feeling as a lot of Bears fans. Like, I'm out on this guy because he can't get out of his own way. The offense can't get out of their own way. So you can understand why a fan would say, you know what, this is not the right deal. This is not the right quarterback for us.
I understand that where you're coming from.
Is that not fair?
Absolutely fair. Absolutely. He has not played to the level that they all hoped for and expected. All I'm saying is that the day they drafted him, 98% of the freaking fan base was out. Ugh, terrible trade. He sucks. They weren't even willing to give him a chance. Not at all. None. And that was my point.
It looks like the fan base was right.
Maybe.
Unless he comes back, the door's always ajar.
They hated Ryan Tannehill in Miami. He went to Tennessee, and now he's playing at a really high level. I hope Mitch goes to another town and plays at a really high level. We'll see if it happens. He may end up being Blake Bortles. He may end up being a backup the rest of his life. He may be out of the league. I don't know. All I'm saying to you is that every single thing this guy said immediately, he became a lightning rod for criticism. And the last I looked, and Nick Foles said this the other day, is, did you win or did you lose? What was he? 12-4? Well, he missed two games in 18, so he was 10-2 as a starter. This year he's 3-0 as a starter. And last year I think he played out of the 16. What did he play, 14 games last year? I think he was 6-6 maybe? Mm-hmm. Something like that. Like, he's got a really good winning record. Right. Doesn't mean he's a good quarterback.
He's 26-18 in his career.
26-18 as a starter.
So definitely above .500. So, but would you say that all the Bears fans that looked at the ineptitude of this offense and you called them a hater, is that still hold today Were people still hating on Mitch, or were they looking at it fairly saying this offense should be a lot better with Mitch in there?
We have not seen Nick Foles play any better than Mitch has played.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
No question.
Yeah.
Nick Foles is a more polished understanding of the offense. Nick Foles might be better in terms of being a great face talking about your team and your leadership and all that, a calming presence. Right. But in terms of raw performance on the field, Nick Foles has looked like garbage. I hope he's great on Monday night. Anyway, we'll get into this. Is Mitch a bust? I clarify my thoughts for you. So, again, Waddle, Sylvie, get a legal pad. We'll plan your show. Here's what we'll do in the 2 o'clock hour. You can respond. In the 3 o'clock hour, we can let you do something else. 4 o'clock hour, we'll make sure you got 40 minutes of audio so you don't have to talk much.
Oh. Get up! the bunker.
Cap, Jay Hood.
Our new morning show.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Isn't he?
Yeah, I don't think Waddle wasn't on yesterday.
Yeah, I think Waddle's visiting his parents.
But he's up and early tweeting that
means he won't shower for 4 days because I don't think they have any kind of running water down there.
Oh. But he's up early tweeting at you,
he
though.
He is. He's already tweeting. Appreciate you listening, Tom. You got it. You're the man. Anyway.
So this whole thing, like, people feel... I'm just looking on this Twitter. Usually I don't look at Twitter during the show as often, but just like, you know, you said that it wouldn't end well. I guess you're right. It won't end well for people when it comes to Mitch, because you're saying that I'm just going back to, I guess, things that you said. You said that it wouldn't end well if you're against him and people are haters if you're not rooting for Mitch and the Bears.
Okay, here's my let me just clarify again.
That's a fine, by the way.
Thank you.
Yep.
Let me
$1.
Clarify one more time. Here's what I said. His contract was not extended. The fifth-year option wasn't picked up. They didn't do a new deal, which means for you people in the afternoon or in the early evening, means that he's going to be what's called a free agent. That means that he can go anywhere he wants. Okay?
Yeah.
What that means is if Nick Foles stays healthy, something he's never done in his career is play more than 13 games, that means Mitch won't get back on the field. That means he will be playing somewhere else next year. And whether he throws 78 touchdowns to zero interceptions or zero touchdowns to 78 interceptions won't affect his legacy in Chicago. He will be a bust because he didn't achieve the heights they expected. Period. I don't think it's that tough a concept, but again, I can record whatever you need for the afternoon show, and then you guys can just start at 3.
I think the confusion, Cap, is the caveat that you attach to it. You could simply just say, Mitch, the Bears traded up to draft Mitch second overall. Mitch didn't fulfill his place in Bears history, he was a bust. If you just ended it there, I think it would be an easier pill to swallow. But you add the caveat. We understand he could go on to have a great career somewhere else. He could go on to be the next Ryan Tannehill. Maybe he'll go on to be even better than that. But here in Chicago, you can't argue he was a bust.
That's what I said.
Yes, but you like soften the blow of saying he's a bust with the caveat.
No, what I said was simply he can't get back on the field to change the narrative. Now, if God forbid, Monday night, 4 minutes in, Nick Foles suffers an injury, God forbid, a million times, and he goes back in there, Mitch, and balls out the rest of the season, okay, then it changes the narrative. But if all I said was, if Nick Foles keeps the job the rest of the season, Mitch will be playing somewhere else next year, period. And that makes him a bust. wasn't like a revelation. But I guess when you went to Southern Illinois or Boston College or come from Libertyville, it flies over the top of your head.
Get up!
We have great listeners in Libertyville. I'd like to say on behalf of Hoodie, myself, Melmer, and JR, we do love Libertyville.
I love Libertyville.
Yes. But you're talking about Black and Abdallah.
Whatever their names are.
Come on, Cap. Come on. They're saying that you are Ray Charles. They said yesterday that you were Ray Charles, that you couldn't see that Trubisky was a bust a while ago.
They made their bed the night he was drafted. And the worst thing for those two dudes that work 6 to 8 would have been if this guy had become a superstar, because they basically would have had to become Uber drivers. Joe in Chesterton.
Wait a minute.
Hey, Joe, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the conversation.
Love you.
Hey, so I will respectfully disagree. I mean, I get your point to the whole he hasn't lived up to expectations. But here's the thing. I have looked at the past 10 years, how many quarterbacks taken in the first 3 picks have really panned out. Look at Darnold and Mayfield. Traditionally, if you're taken to a team in the top 3, it means you're going to a dysfunctional organization at that time. So I feel like now if you look at the current contract situation for the Chicago Bears, the top 4 or 5 players are on the defensive side, okay? When you see Cleveland go out and get Odell Beckham for Baker Mayfield, he's trying to put pieces around the GM of that at that time in Cleveland was trying to put pieces around him. Trubisky's rookie year, he had Dontrell Inman and Trey McBride and Tanner Gentry.
Yeah.
They get Allen Robinson in 2018. 27 total touchdowns in 14 games. You're thinking, wow, this is a great start. You know, this is a great start with Nagy. In 2019, yes, it starts off rocky, but the entire offense was rocky. They switched on the offensive line, and then by the time they're trying to get a flow going, Mitch gets hurt and plays 11 games hurt.
Aren't there different levels to bust? There's a lot of different examples of that, is it not? I mean, what you're seeing here is a guy that lost his job this year in the Atlanta game and an offense that could not move to the point where we're going in a circle all the time talking about, is it the offensive line? Is it the running game? Is it Mitch? Is it like it's at some point, if you're not winning more games than you need to, if you're not getting to the playoffs on a regular basis, if you're underachieving, you can say that even that's a bust. You don't have to go over 0-16 and say that that's a bust. There's different levels to this, I believe.
Well, my point is that he's not the biggest bust in Chicago. It's probably Cade McNown, in my opinion.
Yeah, I get it. But same thing. But a guy that was drafted at the spot that he was in, Joe, and we appreciate the phone call. The place where he was drafted, if you're not getting the production, the wins that you're looking for him to be a franchise quarterback, and he's going to be out in his first contract, you can call that a bust also.
Agreed.
All I know is this, is that no matter what has been said between this show and Waddle and Sylvie and Black and Abdallah, the point is, though, is that you want to have someone to take over the franchise for the next decade. That's what you're looking for, because it's been a quarterback here for a year, a quarterback for a couple years. The whole Cutler thing also was a bust in a lot of ways, underachievement, all these different offensive coordinators, the clown car of offensive coordinators that Cutler had to deal with. Point is, Cap, is that if you don't have that one franchise quarterback where you say, you know what, we're going to have some down years, but we're going to have some good years with this guy too. If you don't have that guy in place, your organization's not going anywhere.
Let me ask you a question. Was Cutler a bust here in Chicago?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Jeff?
I'd say so. I mean, it's not about the numbers compared to all the other quarterbacks the Bears have had.
You won one freaking playoff game, and the day they made the trade, this town acted like, oh, my God, they just dropped Johnny Unitas, Bart Starr, Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Brady rolled into one here.
In totality, because of the underachievement, you could say that was a busted move.
So, I don't know. I don't know if I label that a bust.
You won one playoff game. You paid a fortune, and you thought he was a Pro Bowl, perennial Pro Bowl quarterback. He sucked.
He was in the NFC title game.
Yep.
And was injured.
And then what?
that he won one playoff game in his entire career here.
He was saddled with Mark Trestman, who might be the worst coach in NFL history. The dude stood in the back of the room, couldn't face his team.
He had Lovie for four seasons.
Okay, and he had success with Lovie. And then Mark Trestman came in, and guys like Peter King were picking them to win the Super Bowl, and Mark Trestman lost that team.
Well, I'd be more inclined to label him a bust had he not been... He was able to parlay it into another contract. The Bears thought enough of him to pay him again.
It's a different conversation, Jeff, when we talk about busts as a free agent or someone that comes in via a trade versus a draft pick. When we talk about busts, it's usually based on draft picks, correct?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I agree with that.
So, but I mean, there's a different. Well, if you don't see color as a bust, you can look at it as a complete missed opportunity.
All I can tell you is if they could go back to the day of the trade, they would not make it again.
Yeah, if you don't not comfortable with the term bust for a guy that you did not draft, you could just say missed opportunity. You see a lot of things that, in which it just did not work out.
All right, phone lines are hopping. Also, several teams are interested in Antonio Brown after Week 8. He's eligible to come back. Should the Bears be among those teams?
Wake up,
Sylvie. Get a pen and paper. Waddle's off this rest of the week. You got a lot of time to fill, kid. Let me know what you need. We'll be right back.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at Cap J-Hood. This is ESPN 1000.
Welcome back, ESPN 1000. With Hoodie, I'm Cap, Meller, Zetterman, Strauss. We're here every day, 7 until 10. And then we work afternoons and early evenings, probably 4 days a week.
Yes, it is. Carmen Yurko comes your way at 10 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000.
So correct.
The story came across yesterday. Antonio Brown is available. Suspension is over, and he's going to be with some NFL team. Mm-hmm. Someone. You know, sometimes you just wonder if you're a general manager, if you're an owner, whether or not the juice is worth the squeeze when it comes to certain guys.
That's Waddle's line.
And I just look at it and I just say, you know, Antonio Brown, everything that he's gone through, you know what broke it for me is watching him with the Raiders. That's what broke it for me. Like, he was just all over the place. All over the place. He's got the bad feet, and right there he is on the NFL show on HBO on Hard Knocks, mm-hmm. and just made an ass of himself. They released him, and he's running around the yard like he's I'm free. I'm free. You're free of what? What are you free of?
Yeah, free of making millions of dollars.
He doesn't have issues. He's got subscriptions. He's got a ton. Right.
It's a great way to put it.
And so I can't have him on a football team that I'm running because. If I like my room, if I like my wide receiver room, if I like the harmony in on my football team, I can't have that guy be an outsider coming into this and poisoning the waters with his personality. Now, you love what he can do when he's upright and is able to make plays. But you know what? You know what I'd do? I'd say, you know what? Go someplace else. I'll admire you from afar.
I was up doing cryo yesterday.
Yep.
And I was talking to my guy there. My buddy Josh, who works at the cryo place, mm-hmm. up at Restore, it's called. And I said, how in the H does a guy like Antonio Brown get injured doing something like that? He said, because he's not very intelligent. You don't go into a cryo chamber with wet feet. Mm-hmm. Anybody knows that. And then that episode happened. Remember that?
Yeah.
Then he was fighting with Gruden. Then he didn't like something else the way they were doing it. Then he comes out the other day, now that he doesn't have a team to play on, and he sits down and talks with Barstool. And the question came, well, you're going to be able to sign with whoever you want after Week 8. What about the Bears?
Where are you going to get back on a team or no?
Man, what do you think? We doing this for fun? This ain't for fun. This for real.
The Bears. The Bears could use another receiver.
Nah, with Nick Foles.
Oh, no, they love Nick, dog. No, they love Nick.
I think that's technically tampering by me, too.
Yeah, what? Well, yeah, hey, he's
that,
the one.
That's his name.
Those two guys are the ones they called him that.
There you go. Not with Nick Foles, he says.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay, I don't know where everyone else is. 312-332-3776. for me and two dudes from Libertyville. You can write this down. You can save the audio. Let me be clear. Waddle, Sylvie. Sylvie, get out of bed. You got a workout to get to on the elliptical until we say something else you got to write down. Here's my stance.
Leave him alone.
Hard pass. Hard pass on Antonio Brown. I don't want a clown like this here. I don't. No shot. You want to tell me you traded for Julio Jones? All in. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Not now. That's someone that could be a difference maker for your franchise.
Antonio Brown?
Yeah, no thank you.
Hard pass.
No, it's about availability and compatibility when it comes to Antonio Brown. If he goes someplace else and flourishes, then that's good for him. If he's going to be with a football team, he's got to have his best behavior and his best production. He has to have that in order for him to be able to go to another football
Correct.
Team. But just, you know, on the surface, he can't start with me. It can't be coming off the suspension being with my football team if I'm running it.
Correct. By the way, for the Sylvie show, that's 741. Mark the
tape. Oh, 312-332-3776.
Danny, you want Antonio Brown here?
100%. Bring him in. I view this as the Aroldis Chapman to the 2016 Cubs. Like Aroldis Chapman as a... Wait, listen. Hear me out.
Go ahead.
Hear me out. I did not like Aroldis Chapman as a person. I hated the fact he was coming to my favorite baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
But you could not argue with his ability. Antonio Brown's a horrible dude. We know his checkered past. But you can't argue with the fact that he's got Hall of Fame talent. 538 did a great piece writing about this Chicago Bears offense. Just to summarize for you, if you put this Bears offense against the 60 teams that made the playoffs over the last five seasons, they rank in the bottom in almost every single offensive category.
Okay.
If this team's going to win a Super Bowl, which we all hope they will, they're 5-1, the defense is dominant, they're borderline elite defense. If the window is open for the Bears to win a Super Bowl, you need another offensive weapon. There's a guy available, as horrible as he is in the room, that brings something to the field that you don't have. If the window's open, you put your chips in the middle of the table and you go all in. You say, all right, Matt Nagy, you're a great leader of men. You're a guy that built a culture. Take this guy who's a cancer in the clubhouse, turn this team into a winning team, and let's win a Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, but that's all washed, though, because he says he doesn't want to play with Nick Foles. I don't even know who asked that question. Was that Dan Katz?
I think
that was our guy,
yeah,
Barstool Big Cat.
Yeah. Dan Katz?
Dan Katz.
Yeah, so of course. Yeah, he asked that question. Yeah, he was trying to get somebody for the Bears, and he said no. So it's actually a non-starter now.
He was kind of laughing, like maybe, and this is just a maybe, Hoodie.
He was kind of laughing. What do you mean he's kind of laughing?
Antonio Brown was laughing.
He
like,
was not laughing.
Maybe he's just kind of like busting Dan Katz's, you know what's, because he knows Barstool's a Bears fan. He's like, no, nah, dude, I can't go to your team. You've got Nick Foles.
Okay, let me just clarify something here. When Aroldis Chapman came here, yes, he had a checkered past.
Yes.
Yes, he had served a 30-game suspension. However, when you ask the people that he was with in New York, they loved him mm-hmm. as a teammate. And as soon as the 2016 World Series flag was hoisted up, where did he go? Right back to New York, because they loved him in their room. And they've had zero issue with him since then. Big difference from Antonio Brown, where Mike Tomlin, who is the ultimate player's coach, couldn't wait to get the guy out of there. And then New England, he lasted one game. He couldn't make it with the Raiders with the other ultimate player's coach, John Gruden, who guys love. He'd had allegations of domestic violence, all sorts of crap.
Yeah.
I don't want this guy.
Listen, I'm not going to argue the fact that Aroldis Chapman's probably a better teammate than Antonio Brown. I'm not. But I will say this about Antonio Brown. In the offseason, Tom Brady likes to work out with him. In the offseason, Russell Wilson likes to work out with him. These are two elite quarterbacks that are winners that want to work out with Antonio Brown. That has to say something. Now, listen, when the going gets rough, Antonio Brown, like Hoodie said, he doesn't have issues. He has a subscription. I get that. But I'd like to think that if those guys, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, can see something in him, the Bears could see something in him and capitalize on the fact they're 5-1 and the window is open this year.
Well, if you need Antonio Brown to solidify your offense, you have zero offensively.
Right?
I guess. Well, if you're on bended knee for Antonio Brown, if that's the best that you could do, boy, then the Bears really have no chance then, Jeff. They got no chance.
The next time we get a bite at the Tannenbaum apple, we got to ask him what it would take to get Julio Jones, AJ Green, whatever the top receiver that gets moved.
Well, yeah, and it's going to take assets. Ryan Pace is no stranger to giving up assets. But the one thing I'll say about Antonio Brown is, look, the talent's undeniable, but you, from him in particular, you need buy-in. What you heard in that clip from Barstool, there's no buy-in, like, in this situation. Danny laid out Brady and Russell Wilson. Look, those are two of the best quarterbacks in the game. Everybody around the league respects them. Unfortunately, the Bears don't have that, you know, in their locker room. We teammates may love Nick Foles, but he doesn't have the respect around the league that Brady, Russell Wilson do. And if you're bringing in Antonio Brown, you need a guy like that in your huddle because he could bail on you quickly. And I don't think it works in Chicago.
No, not especially. Not saying that Foles is not a leader. Point is, though, is that if they like their room, keep the room the way it is. Unless you're going to add someone that can help the room. I don't think that Antonio Brown's for himself more so than trying to help a football team.
But we could go back to the 90s when the Bulls brought Dennis Rodman here. He had as many issues with his ex-wife. He admitted that he was sitting in the parking lot at Auburn Hills at the Palace where they played with a shotgun ready to kill himself. I mean, this guy had more issues and he was hated by Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan, and our fan base despised him.
Speaking of guys with guns in the car, here's Scottie Pippen. You ain't going to F up my thumb.
They got him like in Ohio and Michigan.
I had forgotten about that story when I saw him talking. We're like, oh yeah, that's right. Like it didn't damage him one way or the other, but it was just kind of interesting.
But when they brought Rodman here, Michael Jordan grabbed him the first 5 seconds he walked in the building, pulled him in the training room, kicked everyone out, and said, here's the deal. You F up this team, I will kill you. Are we clear? Just play hard. That's all I ask. Yeah. And they basically never spoke again other than in-game situations.
Yeah, see, Rodman was crazy with sprinkles. AB's just crazy.
Correct.
That's the issue. So we'll get to your phone calls coming up on AB.
312-332-3776. Your calls are coming up next.
This is Cap and J Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies at Cap J Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Yeah.
Roll on, Cap and J Hood every morning. 7 a.m. some weekday afternoons. Anyway, AB, Antonio Brown.
Yes.
Is going to be hitting the streets and eligible to come back. He had an 8-week suspension, which is right around the corner. So the question is, should AB be a guy the Bears go and actively try and sign?
All right, let's go to the phone lines and talk to you.
And just so we're clear, you and I both do not want him.
No. He can flourish with some other team. I saw enough of AB on Hard Knocks and other places. Man, you can't play for Mike Tomlin. You can't play for me. Sorry.
Yep.
That guy? Sorry.
And then you can't play for Gruden.
And the other guy on the other coast that's right. A player's guy.
And then Bill Belichick, who took Corey Dillon and all these other trouble, Moss, all of them, they all flourished. And he went, yeah, we're out. See ya.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
1 week. You're out. And by the way, we got to get into it with Danny, too. Danny, you think Mitch is a bigger bust than Kevin White?
100%. No. I don't think it's even debatable. They traded up to take him in with the second pick and gave up draft capital.
Hard pass on that one because Mitch won 25 games. Kevin White, at number 7 overall, caught 25 passes in 3 years.
Mitch didn't win 25 games. The defense won 25 games. It's like Rex Grossman leading that Bears team to the Super Bowl. Call your buddy Alex Brown and ask him, did Rex Grossman lead you to the Super Bowl? Because you could say the same thing about Rex that you say about Mitch. He was a lucky guy on a great defensive team. That's a fact.
You
can't convince me. It's my opinion that Mitch is a bigger bust.
How would you vote, Jeff?
Yeah, no, I don't think Mitch littered himself in fame here, but no, I say Kevin White's a bigger bust.
Hoodie, how would you vote?
No, Kevin White did nothing for the Bears. At least Trubisky did something for this Bears team. There's a couple of games we can point at, and you say, boy, Trubisky made a difference. A Tampa game, several others, but the idea that Kevin White, where he was drafted, should have been able to do more for the Bears offense, he did zero.
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 Make that poll question. Poll question. There you go.
Put it on the poll.
I'll tweet it out. JR got it. Yeah. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Brett. Brett's listening on the app. Hey, Brett, man, what's up?
Hey, first time, long time.
Appreciate you.
Number one, down here in Kansas. But big Bears fan. Number one, let's do not sign Antonio Brown. Hall of Fame talent, but absolute cancer. If you cannot play for Tomlin and you cannot play for Gruden, you have no business being on this team.
I'm right there with you, and I think Hoodie is as well. Appreciate you. Have a good day.
All right. Hey, thanks, Cap.
Thanks. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Brett. I spent some time in Kansas.
So did Danny. Yeah. Danny wanted to live in Topeka. His wife didn't want to be there. That was his favorite city he's ever been to, I think.
I spent a month there 1 week. God almighty. That
I did a game on New Year's Eve by myself. I'm spending New Year's Eve in Wichita. Oh, my God.
Been there.
Felt like I was in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Been there.
Danny worked in Topeka on TV. Yeah.
I'm trying to forget those days. Can I go back to the Mitch Kevin White thing?
Yeah.
You know what? Here's why Mitch was a bigger bust. Mitch Trubisky has set this Bears franchise back 6 years at the quarterback. The most important position in all sports is quarterback. Mm-hmm. They traded up to draft a quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky. He was a bust. Now we do not have a quarterback of the future. We have Nick Foles, who is not the quarterback of the future, and we have no one on the roster that is, and we're still searching. Kevin White, okay, he was drafted high, was a wide receiver. It doesn't set the franchise back like drafting Mitch does, and that's why Mitch is the bigger bust. Your Honor, I rest my case.
All right, Recross.
Yeah, I'll let my case stand on its own, and we ask for an immediate dismissal.
All right, so we'll take that to Chambers.
It's a different argument, though. I agree with Danny. It did set the Bears franchise back.
Hey.
But it doesn't make him a bigger bust.
Nobody asked the bailiff to chime in.
Hey.
You get out of your head.
You know what?
What are you doing,
you bailiff? You got a mouthy bailiff, and he's in your courtroom. I don't know what to do.
You know what? This ain't Judge Mathis. You don't have a mic.
In contempt. Hold me in contempt.
All right. You know what? We're gonna put
Cap had a wig, he would look like Judge Judy.
you can't have the bailiff just mouthing off with his thoughts. This is a private case.
You know what I hope? Nah, I'm not even going to go there.
Say it.
I would love on Monday Night Football, you know, like, In Matt's first year, like everything was cool and like different. Santa's sleigh, and we do this one, and we got, you know, whatever play he called each one.
Yeah.
Monday Night Football. Mitchell Trubisky either throws or catches a pass from Nick Foles. Either he throws to Nick or Nick throws to him for a touchdown. That'd be just awesome.
Oh yeah. So you want the New Orleans Saints type play.
Yeah. Something different.
Or the Eagles.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, both quarterbacks on the field at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
See, that's a good comment to bring up.
All right, we'll get back to your calls. 312-332-3776 plus Howard Griffith on the Bears of Big Ten. It's all in 2 minutes.
Order.
Take that.